Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, let's go. Oh, my legs. Oh, my God, my legs. Oh, God. Good morning.
Yeah, you must be stiff. Should we talk very quickly about the gig last night and then do the thing?
Yeah, okay, well, let's set the scene. We are on Hackney Marshes. Yeah. The sun is shining. It's quite windy.
Yeah.
And we saw each other just a few short hours ago.
Yeah, it was great. It was the Shake Wheel After Charity Night at the Comedy Store.
For Parkinson's UK.
For Parkinson's UK, yeah. And it was just a really nice gig, wasn't
it? Honestly, it was fantastic.
Are they normally like that down there? Because it seemed pretty, like, I was on first, and it seemed pretty just great off the top, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things, because I think it has always been, traditionally, we try and make it a really fun night, because often charity comedy nights, you've really got to put the work into to blend in the seriousness,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But Parkinson's UK, we want a great night of comedy first and foremost, and just to kind of sprinkle it with Parkinson's so people remember why we're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Without losing that momentum. But having said that, I think that was the energy was just great. I think it's something to
it
do
was
with
lovely, yeah.
People being back out and everything. I don't know. It was because I think I doubt you were there till the end, right?
And no,
I was comparing you on first. I went out at the beginning. It was like the audience were just so ready for a good
stoked.
Time.
It was like being in downtown LA or something.
Yeah, it was such a comedian's treat. You just had to get out there and do your stuff. And
it was
like,
lovely, yeah.
Yes, that's what we're here for. And that energy was there all night. The bill's amazing.
Yeah.
So me and you were like, you know, after you, because you were on first, right?
Yeah.
And then so what's this? You know, only about a quarter of an hour into the gig, we're like, this gig is great.
Yeah, it
was
beautiful.
And then Shaprack or Sandy was on the other week. She was fantastic. Paul Mayhew Archer, who is, he's superb. He actually, he worked in comedy for years, comedy producer.
Right.
So he's got Parkinson's.
Right.
And when he got it, or rather when he was diagnosed, he started performing, telling people about it.
Wow.
And that's just the fulcrum of the whole thing, because it's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's so true. It just kind of sums up. It kind of gives the whole gig its kind of heart and purpose.
I bet it does, you know? Yes.
Which is funny, because we also had Paul Sinner on later on, who is similar. He's also got Parkinson's. But his act was actually much more acerbic, so the balance of it was
right.
Superb.
Right, yeah.
Other friend of the show, Ella Tiernan, she was on fantastic form, and the gig was just beautiful. Catherine Bohart was excellent. Morning, Magpie. It was just a joy from beginning to end.
Yeah, it was. It really was, yeah. It was really good fun. So thanks for organising it. Thanks everyone who came.
Yes.
And
thanks to the Comedy Store. And also great news for me, because of course I was, you know, only 36 hours out from running my second marathon in the month.
Yes. Which brings us to the question, how are you feeling?
Do you know, I feel all right.
Okay, cool.
I've got, I'm going to sneeze in a second. Just a little warning there. The feeling is going to be a big one. Or it's going to go away. Yeah, I've got achy thighs, you know?
Yeah, of course,
Sort of like both front and back, which is not, and both legs.
Yeah.
And honestly, that is currently my worst symptom.
Right.
And it's not actually that bad for running. The only evidence I've done a marathon in recent days is when I get out of a chair.
Right,
I can't really do it without noise.
It's very hard to get
up. But I'm at a point in life where that's pretty much the case. Anyway.
Yeah.
And, and that's it. Honestly, you know, we were both concerned about my back-to-back marathons. But that was definitely a positive, is that for the first time in years, literally, I finished the marathon on Sunday and felt all right.
Yes.
I didn't have a
I remember you saying on the text. Yeah.
And I was looking back through, right back to, New York, which was the first marathon I did after I broke my toe. That's the first time I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do with myself.
In the
first kind of 10 minutes after a marathon. And I've got used to it as a kind of phenomenon. And then on Sunday, just didn't happen.
That sounds great.
So I think, obviously there's upsides. If you can hear a kind of crunchy noise, that's great. That's us literally.
Bit of atmosphere, bit of live atmosphere.
And now I'm going up the stairs in a spooky castle.
Yeah. And you, talk us through. You had a good run by all accounts. Lots of running commentary people there.
It's wonderful.
As well, which is really nice.
I feel like with the gig and my run, I just want to check in because, of course, we're just assuming now that you're all right. Here we are on soft surfaces.
I'm back to running for like an hour every other day.
Yeah.
I won't run for an hour today, but that's what I ran an hour yesterday.
Yeah.
Soft surfaces, feeling okay, mindful
looking
of the fact.
Good.
No, but look.
Oh, you're in compression socks.
That's a
great idea, of course.
I'm now one of those people.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Which I never thought I would be, but
but they're just compression socks.
I've bitten the compression. It's not, Rob. It's a state of mind. It's a huge leap for me. But you know what?
You're talking like those people who still, you see photos of me from years ago wearing like shorts.
Yeah.
Go, oh, what's happening down there?
Yeah.
What's happening? They're shorts, guys.
Yeah.
Live through it if you can.
It's sort of, I'm very resistant to change in terms of running gear and any kind of affectation or even any sort of mode of self-care.
This is from a guy who loves wearing a jumper that's got the biggest picture of Goofy I've ever seen.
But you know what? They feel okay.
Yeah.
They feel pretty groovy, actually.
Yeah, good.
And they seem to be... Well, they seem to be doing the job in terms of, like, calf stability, etc.
Yeah.
So...
And also, they genuinely look good. I mean, joking about it and everything, but I didn't notice.
Yeah.
You just look kind of football-y.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I mean, it's reached that stage already alarmingly quickly where I'm racing people for the last mile down the Parkland Way. So,
Watch yourself.
Yeah. But yeah, take it slow. Lots of long, slow running. And yeah, I'm really, really enjoying the feeling of being a bit back, you know?
Yeah.
Because days like the York Marathon just... And obviously London, show you what you're missing out on, you know?
Yeah. And even, parkrun, whatever. Just remembering that it's a community thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm running us towards a point where there isn't a gap through these trees. Let's pick up the path over here.
This is nice.
We're just crossing the... Cricket Square towards the north.
Lots of daisies.
West, oh lovely.
Yeah.
North, I'll get a picture.
Up yeah, lots of daisies
north,
all of a sudden.
West corner of Hackney Marshes. And, they're great. What are these daisies doing? The sun's come out, but that means I've got a big shadow of my squatting legs. And there's this weird two black things in. Are those compression socks?
So
you disgust me.
So those, so talk me through it then. Talk me through York.
It was funny, as I won't go on because anyone who follows me on the social networks will have seen it, but I had a spectacularly delayed train.
Yeah, I saw bits of that. Yeah, that felt stressful.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Andy Andrews who said, it seems selfish, but I feel like this is going to be good stuff for the next episode.
Yeah.
But you know what? It wasn't stressful at all. Maybe that's where my mindset was. But I think also, as comedians, if you go on a train somewhere... and it's delayed, and the thing you're travelling for is the next day.
Yeah.
What a luxury.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because we're always trying to get to a gig, always trying
to get
to a stage.
Yeah, you can just chill out a little bit.
And I had plenty of time.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to do. I was literally...
And you were resting. As long as it doesn't take you into that, it's going to affect my sleep sort of
exactly.
thing, isn't it?
I was literally carrying a little tub of brown rice.
Yeah.
Pecking
into it sporadically. Yeah.
In Bradford instead of at the B&B.
Yes,
It really didn't touch the sides. And I was very... I took it really easy. You know, got some good... It's amazing how late in the day you realise, I think maybe it's also as a professional grown-up, how much effort you have to put in logistically to get a lot of sleep before a marathon.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just been, my family have been great. And a couple of times, you know, once or twice a week before both London and Yorkshire marathons, I've said, I'm going to sleep in this morning. And they've gone, yeah, sure, good idea.
And could you sleep in? Did you get a sleep in?
Yeah, I slept in. That's great. I slept if you in can. On Thursday and Saturday.
That's it's invaluable, isn't it? If you
yeah,
can get
and
it.
It's
if
such
you can
a thing as so,
line up feeling rested.
I spend so much time thinking about training and mileage and yeah. taper and food and being rested is key.
Yeah.
And again, I was really pleased with the fueling I put in ahead of London, and for Yorkshire. I did the same thing, only just much more chilled out, because it was kind of coming in under the, you know, what was good about it was that I wasn't going crazy or going off-piste anyway.
Right.
Just choosing to have meals that we'd have anyway at the right time, you know?
Yeah.
So that felt pretty like a breeze as well, like I was definitely carb-loading right without going, none of that. So very chill, and then the train thing showed me that, you know? It was really sad, the train, there was a fatality on the line.
Oh, dear.
So you can't, you also, of course, that yeah, stops yeah. you saying, oh yeah. my goodness, I need to get somewhere.
Yeah,
you
bit, know, no bit one perspective,
knows.
Yeah, yeah.
The only sociopath would have that response. So, and I was next to a lovely
sociopath.
Old couple
yeah.
who were on their way back from Paris.
All right.
So I knew they were,
yeah.
and also they were getting off at Doncaster, which we were 2 minutes outside.
Wow.
When
it happened.
Stopped for 3 hours.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, compared to them,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, I'll read the paper.
Yeah.
And drink my beetroot juice. Oh, beetroot and lemon, I'm telling you, that's
nice.
Good stuff. It's windy, isn't it?
It is windy today. Yeah, it's nice to be back on the marshes, though.
I hope that's not too windy for you guys. This is why we wear the face tribbles.
Yeah.
Someone said in one of the marathon photos last couple of weeks, said, is that, did you eat that hamster for energy? Which is a good one.
So you got there.
Got there, settled in. I was staying in the Bar Convent. It's an old convent, very nice. You know, noodled around, sorted myself out, got an early night. And then you get into how brilliantly and relaxedly yet efficiently the Yorkshire Marathon is run.
Yeah.
Because I realised... They didn't have any... I didn't have an arrival time.
Right.
No one said, please be there by this time. I mean, they're just assuming it would be logical and that you get there in good time.
Yeah.
And I didn't take my time. I woke up, sorted myself out. I did bang my head on the underside of the bathroom door handle.
What was it? Some sort of pre-race ritual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all done it. We haven't, have we? Who does that? And then I went to the fridge. I put some stuff in the fridge. You know, post-race drinks. My pre-race muesli was all in the B&B fridge. I opened it up, got one thing out, thought, don't let lose all the energy, shut the fridge. Went to open it again, couldn't open it.
Right.
So I was having a weird slapstick nightmare in the B&B. Got the shuttle bus, walked up the stairs, thought, oh, I won't be able to walk up these stairs later. Lovely atmosphere as everyone kind of coalesces, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also nice when you've done a marathon before, you kind of overhear people putting it together, going, oh, I see, so, you know, doing it for the first time and
yes,
kind of talking
yeah,
around.
Yeah.
Hey, dog.
Hello, mate.
Oh, hey, this dog just came and dropped a ball for Paul to throw. He did it. Paul's there for you. Let me get you and your dog right in this pick. He's going to come and want it done again. You give him it once, they want more. They just want more.
Excellent. I hope this woman said, do you mind? Sorry. I'm starting to feel like I'm impinging on her.
I think you've adopted a dog.
He's over there. It's over there, you idiot. I started to feel like I was in the opening scene of some kind of dog napping episode. I didn't want her to feel a bit stressed.
I think the dog wants it to be that
lovely,
kind
of... lovely Labradors, lovely.
Yeah, gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are. It's a bit like a living dog food advert, the way that one bounced off. Yeah, yeah. Hello.
Through the ball.
Can you play this ball for me? I see that you're running. Is it a radio show? No, it's not radio.
It's a hamster.
You look, I'm not saying my phones look delicious. Yeah. This Labrador's posh.
Why are you wearing compression socks?
What the hell? So chomp your calf.
So you...
Do you know Eleanor, aforementioned Eleanor Tiernan?
Yeah.
She's been filming in Ireland.
Right.
She was running.
Right.
She got bitten by a dog.
Did she really?
Yeah, she was running past the dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Tied up outside a shop, and it got agitated and took a chomp. She had to get a shot.
Oh, that's not very nice.
That's no fun, is it?
No,
I mean, it's fun when you read about it in the Beano, but when it happens in real life...
No, that's pretty disturbing. Yeah, what kind of dog was it? Did she say?
I'm just expecting myself to do a great joke here, and I got nothing.
Yeah, a bitey dog. Bitey dog, yeah.
I haven't got to the start line of the marathon yet, have I? I was in... it was lovely VIP bit. It was nice, you know, they were looking after you very nicely. Went in there, good scene, lovely breakfast.
Yeah.
I added more soy milk to my muesli because it soaked up all the soy milk that was already in there.
Right.
And it was just such a good soak.
Nice, yeah.
Interviewed by Radio Yorkshire, lovely people there. And again, you know, they didn't schedule that or anything. They said, do you mind if we talk to you?
Just a little chat, yeah.
I'm like, yeah,
nice.
No trouble. And did that, and that's, and listen again, BBC Sounds, so, you know, not just me, but their whole Yorkshire coverage is there. And I actually talked to them when I got over the line as well. Plot spoil,
right.
I did get over the line.
Nice, yeah.
And so that was a good scene. And then they, a nice chat with a guy from Erdinger, alcohol-free.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Nice.
I told him freely and openly how much I enjoyed his product.
Yeah.
I got a message from Martin Hutchinson saying, are you around? I'm just walking past the thing. But I didn't get it till too late. And
right.
I went outside and he wasn't there anymore. But
that's a shame. Right.
I would go on to see him. But obviously that was helpful. Thank you, Martin. Because I had assumed it had stopped raining. And when
right.
I went outside, it's pretty manky out there.
Yeah. Okay.
So I went with my little Mac and my cap. And that was a decision I made based on that experience. So thank you, Martin. And then... they were very cool. I said, oh, yeah, I've taken out the elites, but we're back in 10 minutes for you guys. Walk us up to the start line. So that was they walked us out of there at 10 past 9 for a half 9 start.
Right.
Got to the start line. You know what happened then?
Well, started to rain.
No, it was raining.
All right.
But, and I met a lovely guy, I can't remember his name, from Great Run.
Right.
I used to work on the Great North Run. And I knew him from there. And he gave me a really nice pep talk, so that was a really good talk.
Right. Oh, that's
not
good.
That I was down or anything, but he was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, feel good, Rob. I think you can have a good rate, you know.
Yeah, that's nice.
And
that's,
then they said, so do you mind starting the race, Rob?
Oh.
So relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, I put that in my book, me and Tony Audenshaw starting it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I literally assumed someone hadn't turned up.
That's so funny.
How they just are that relaxed.
That's so funny, isn't it?
So it's slightly... in a way, I was completely happy with. It changed my plan because I was going to maybe fall in behind the 3:30 pacer,
right,
and see what I could do with that.
Right, okay.
But at the point when the 3:30 pacer and everyone else went over the start line,
I was just
above them waving a flag, waving a big white flag of Right Rose of Yorkshire, saying, "I'm not from here. I'm sorry." And that was great. And I saw three men who were running. I saw that was the first time in life I'd ever seen Martin. He went past.
Right.
Dave.
Nice. Oh, that's great, though.
Went past.
It?
Donato, the poet pizza guy. They all went, "Rob, Rob!"
It's great to see you,
oh, wow.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Sorry about the sound, guys. It's quite... There's not going to be many more brown leaves on the tube by the end of today. That's something. Still sunny though.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
And yeah. So that was really nice for me to see those people going past over the start line.
Yeah.
And it also added a kind of, you know, the way I start these things. You know, it took the edge off the worry about it. I was
yes. Yeah.
Sure
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Slipped in, but then also kind of let myself run fast down the hill.
Right.
You know. I think I'll get back to where I was.
Yeah.
Where I'd be if I'd been in my pen and stuff.
Right.
You know? So I'm coming down the hill into York, doing lots of overtaking like it's the beginning of a park run.
Right.
But then I got down the hill and went to the toilet.
Right.
I actually had an even little brief wait for the toilet. So it's all very...
It's a little bit of a higgledy-piggledy start.
Yeah, quite scattershot.
Yeah, yeah.
And but none the worse for it, really. Realising that my plan to get paced was going out the window, and that was fine, because I just needed to find my pace.
Yeah.
Felt good. Had my cap on and my coat. It actually stopped raining almost straight away. It was raining at the start. And then it stopped raining, I think, within the first 2 miles, like, as we're going through York itself. Great scene there, everyone's cheering and everything.
Yeah, it is a lovely start.
I was going to go to the toilet, but I think it's closed.
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me for a minute.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So you went, so you've had your start then?
Yeah, so... cruising along, going out through the villages. Such a nice atmosphere, you know, because between the sort of nature of the community and the fact that I was on the podium and stuff, just so many people know who Running Commentary are.
That's
and,
great. You know, yeah, that's great.
And,
that's
and also because I told them, people coming up to me and saying, how did you get here?
Yeah.
You were up there. And I took my hat off and tied it to my caboose when the... when the rain stopped.
Right.
And I didn't know this, but Dave was behind me, and he used that cap bouncing off my ass to
nice.
to pace off
for good for him.
Several miles, I think.
Yeah.
And that's not sinister.
Yeah.
At least he used my hat as a pacer rather than actually using my actual head as a hat. And now we come to a key decision I'd made before the race. I opted to wear... my Vaporflies.
Right.
Now, of course I say my Vaporflies, but they're second-hand Vaporflies, weren't they? Given to, gifted wonderfully by John. Thank you, John.
Yes, yes.
And and I wore them. I was thinking, didn't wear them in London.
Right.
My other shoes were quite light anyway.
Right, okay.
So it's probably going to be fine, and it might give me those marginal gains.
Might give you a bit of, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And the key decision maker was, I wore them for that 10K, the Queen Elizabeth Park 10K.
Yeah.
And that was really fast and felt
it
great.
It really helped you zoom.
Yeah. Anyway, I got to around 10K into the Yorkshire Marathon. And I thought to myself, a bit small these, aren't they? They don't actually fit me. They're slightly too small at the front end.
Right, right.
Oh, and my toes started to hurt quite badly. 10K in.
Yeah, that's...
And the great thing at that point was the other voice in my head said, yeah, do you remember at the end of that 10K they really hurt?
Yeah.
I said, no, I didn't remember that. You should have told me that. And this was defining because I was still feeling really good, still going well, still aware of how much positivity the shoes were giving me. You know, they're great shoes.
Yeah.
Just slightly too small.
Forward motion.
So, you know, and I started thinking about how it meant it hurt slightly less when I was going uphill, slightly more when I was going down the hill. And thinking, well, my toes really hurt now, but I can handle it. It's not slowing me down or anything. It's either going to, you know, go up this sort of graph into agony, or I'm going to get all numb and forget about it.
Yes,
or it'll just be the same. It's all, you know, I was very...
You're pretty zen about it.
I was zen about the whole thing, because I knew then I was up for 20 miles of toe pain.
Yeah.
And then, actually, the worst point, there was a massive... wave of pain as I changed my stride slightly to avoid a stone in the road.
Right.
And as it happened, the guy behind me said, go on, Rob, get your 330 and a 330. And So that was whoever that was. If you're listening and you remember that, then that was wonderfully timed.
Yeah,
it got me through the low point.
Yeah, yeah. 20 miles of toe pain.
And I think I don't, you know, want to go on about music because that's a story for another time, as it were. It's running track stuff, but it's a great marathon to run, listen to music, because you still get the whole vibe. It's a really good scene. But some people think when they're suffering, slightly feel the solitude of the country bits.
Yeah, there's some long sort of solitary stretches, which are quite nice, actually. Some really nice,
mood,
long,
beautiful,
gradual downhill stretches.
That's
actually,
right, and the hilliest bits are the actual up and down, so longer later on. And also, it's so wonderfully organised. There's volunteers. When you get into the woods, the kind of most non-populated bit.
Yeah.
There's volunteers just every now and again in gateways clapping your pie. And
it's nice, yeah.
It's very nice. They really look after you out there. And then, of course, you get these huge patches of support when you hit towns and villages. It just goes, you know.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. But I had some amazing music moments. In fact, I've forgotten this. It's just coming back to me. I was very much invoking my first ever Yorkshire Marathon in 2014, which, if you read my book, is the one, it's the kind of gothy one.
Yeah.
Where I went out in the mist and went really fast. So I was kind of happy with the rain, trying to get back to that kind of innocence, that kind of speed. And just when I was starting to maybe, my nerve to be shaken by the toe issue, there was a guy with a faint sort of faded picture of a bat on the back of his top. And it had Latin written underneath it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was for or what it meant.
Yeah.
But it looked like a Bauhaus.
Go with the toe. Yeah.
Yep, I am. Here I am from the Bauhaus to take you round the course. The runners have left the starting pen. The vases on the bits. And so, yeah, that was a strange karmic moment that helped me a lot. So I noodled on, chunking it down. Always good to run a run you've run before, right?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
I got through that 10K.
Feels a bit more manageable.
Yeah. Got to the, from 10K to 10 mile. Again, thinking I've suffered here before. I felt 7 to 9 miles.
Yeah.
I've become aware that I set off really fast. Coming through those miles thinking, yeah, I feel fine, this is good.
Yeah.
And also coming through those miles thinking, also not feeling sad. That's another one from my book, which is, it was around 8-9 miles where I was really thinking about my dad last time I did it.
Right.
And I was very aware of not really remembering that marathon. I think I must have been in quite a bit of a grief bubble then. Because my memories all seemed to come from, once I got shaken off that kind of gothy thing I had in my head before the race, I was comparing it all with the really, really rainy one.
Right.
I was basically running through Yorkshire going, oh yeah, I remember a big puddle here. Oh yeah, there was a big puddle here. Oh yeah, I remember a big puddle here. I was basically realising that 2018 was just flooded the whole way. But chunked it down 10 mile, and then they actually have a 20 kilometre clock and a half marathon clock.
Right.
And they're both not in the town, you know, so it's really good. You're kind of going up through this field. And I got past the half marathon clock. My time was good. It was like, if you do, I didn't know exactly what my time was. I didn't know how long it took me to get over the start
line. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I knew it was roughly, and then the half, first half in something between, probably something under 140.
Right, okay.
I don't know, people were watching on the thing, probably no better, it doesn't matter. And then from the halfway point, you see different people going for their negative splits.
Yeah.
I think some people go quite hard for those negative splits, and that's a mistake. I realise that. I see people cruising very slowly, passing around 16 miles.
Yeah.
That's your negative splitters who are going to stick with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If you start belting it, then you're going to be, there's a problem.
Yeah. I see someone at 14 overtaking me like on a park run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I'm,
you're going to get them at 20 miles, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I don't know. I mean, I wasn't going for a negative split at all. And it's lovely. There's a wonderful turn back. You remember, you come down the hill and turn left, and the hairpins are so great for seeing everyone.
Yeah.
And there I saw, started seeing loads of people we know, people we didn't know, people who, and then I didn't know whether people were running commentary vans, so they just see me at the start.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice, nice, nice.
Such a good feel. And that's the second time I saw Martin, and I was pleased because I got to do my film quote from Gross Point Blank, It's which not complicated.
It? Yeah.
Martin! So I hope he didn't scare him. I hope he didn't scare Martin. We got our first high five.
He had a tail of
medium success.
He had a tail of two halves, didn't he?
He did. So he was looking really strong at that point.
Right.
And he was not that far ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I think if I go amazingly, he's a little.
He's a little pointer.
I'm going to try and vaguely catch him up. And also, I know he went over the line a few minutes ahead of me, so if I don't catch him up,
right,
at whatever time he's getting, I'm still going to match
him. Yeah.
Anyway, but again, almost as I saw him, I realised he sort of woke me up to people coming the other way and just generally going, Rob, hey, ho! Oh. And I was doing the same thing. I said hello to a couple of people who'd come past me early on because I've seen them from the front for the first time.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. This guy's doing that music you might pick up is playing heavy rock, and he's doing press-ups, but with a downward dog.
Yeah, press-ups into downward dog.
Also,
that's pretty impressive.
Only
wearing shorts.
Bare top, bare feet.
Yeah.
It wasn't John Bishop, was it?
Kind of like yogic rock experience. Except now he's doing one-handed planks, one-handed side planks.
Do you know who I think it is? I think it's Jack Palance.
Wow. What a character. So you went through the half feeling pretty good.
Yeah, felt great. And I was aware that my pace was... I just felt that it was steady.
Yeah.
I think one of the best things you get from the old well-engineered shoes, it just keeps your head up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it really felt good. It felt like I didn't know whether I was speeding up or slowing down, but I knew I was going steady, you know?
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a couple, man and woman run together, obviously pacing very carefully. And as we went into that hill, it's a long hill up to maybe 15, 16 miles on the A road, they kind of gently overtook me. And we went down the other side and I gently overtook them. And that was a pattern for the rest of the run.
Yeah.
And I had a carb gel. They're quite rough, aren't they, carb gels?
Yeah, they can be, yeah.
I think it was the right thing to do and I was aware. But I just had a couple of waves of thinking, right, a bit rough after that. But only a little bit, and just generally playing against, feeling very positive and kind of still in my head in a good way. Got to 70 miles and thought about my wife, because you always come to 70 miles in London, so I kind of invoked her like a Yorkshire ghost. That was nice. Lots of great support. But the toughest section of the Yorkshire Marathon is, I would say, 17 to 19 and a half. Where you get over the top of the hill after two long, slow climbs.
Yeah.
And you see the turn back on the other side. And you think, oh, that's at 90 miles. It's actually a fair way past 90 miles. And you go past 17, you drop down the hill to the hairpin. This is where I saw you when you were going really fast.
Right.
Your last...
three, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Coming back up from that second hairpin. And I saw Martin again then. Still looked good. We had a great best high five.
Right.
It was really good. We made complete contact.
Yeah.
Like massive. I hope that it didn't actually throw his body back and injure him, because wow, it was like a huge clap.
And at that point, his groin went.
Yeah. I heard it was two noises. A high five and it's kind of pyoing noise.
Cheers.
It was me. Thanks, Rob. And also, I saw another guy. Another tall runner who I didn't know at all, but he knew who I was and came right across for a high five and went up for a high five. Worst high five ever. Just the fingertips just crushed. I do the sound of that high five. That's the sound we made. But yeah, and just so happy with my awareness of which bit of the course is tough, you know? Because you go from 17 down to around the corner, around 18. And then you climb slowly back up to 19. And it really is, it's such an old cliche, but it's amazing how often as a runner, you have to remind yourself that you're feeling bad because it's a hill.
Yeah.
Not because your body is letting you down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's a combination. It's sort of 90 miles into a marathon.
Yes.
You're starting to feel it as well.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's true on a flatter course.
Yeah.
You're going to see people start pulling up.
Yeah.
But just familiarity made it so much more bearable for me.
Yeah.
Just coming up that hill. And also, kind of showbiz vanity. It's so nice that there's a lot of people there. It's like, hey ho, hey, hey.
Yeah.
You know, it just keeps you externalized.
Keeps you going, yeah.
And then you get back up to 19. Of course, 19 is great, huge achievement, but it's not 20.
Yeah.
And the left turn is after it. And it's not far, but it's not straight
away. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, turn off into the villages just before 20 miles, knowing that that is a potential low point that I've come through feeling pretty strong. Quite enjoying this pacing with this excellently paced couple where they overtake me on hills.
Yeah.
And I overtake them on downhills.
Yeah.
And they actually shifted into run walking later on.
Right.
So the overtaking continued. But I just, at first, it was like, oh God, I keep seeing these guys. But really, I just realised that their pacing was excellent and, you know, sensible.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, yeah, about almost exactly on 20, someone watching online, I think it was Jez, said, oh, yeah, Martin and Rob are having a race. It wasn't like that at all. Martin was, I mean, I think we were probably making similar pace to then, but he was way ahead of me because of the beginning. And then suddenly I saw him up ahead. I thought, oh no, Martin's having trouble. But I didn't see him suffering at this point. I just knew he'd slowed right down.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see him quite far off because he's tall. It's this hutch on the back of his top. And, yeah, anyway, when I went to come past him, he was actually stopping and stretching his legs out. And I thought, oh, he's got a proper pain somewhere. And, yeah, as we know from his report, yeah. his groin went. One of his groins.
Right.
And you know how that feels,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's painful. Yeah.
But also,
yeah, really
not to take away from Martin's specific suffering, but it's that kind of time in the marathon. You just see people
start to unravel a bit.
Yeah, some people make it and some people don't, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, Martin did make it in a very real sense. He ran on through his injury,
yeah,
and came in, but you know, and then you see people. And you see, I think some people kind of panic a bit as well. I saw a guy, there were three guys running together. I think maybe one of them actually did pace it really nicely and come past me towards the end. But one of the others of them, he kept coming just in front of me.
Right.
And zigzagging, looking behind him for the other guys, like this, zigzagging. I'm like,
cheers, mate.
You are burning energy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You see, it's like you come up past me, you can't decide whether you're overtaking me or not. You're trying to tell your mates. It's all too much.
Yeah, it's a bit unnecessary.
You're burning energy here.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there was awareness. Maybe I was paranoid. But of course, people do start pushing for the end.
Yeah.
And the great luxury with me is that one pace, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to speed up for the finish.
Yeah.
I was, I don't know if it's fitness or just bullheadedness, but I wasn't going to stop running.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm probably slowing down a bit here. But it wasn't dramatic.
Yeah.
I didn't have any specific pain. I was just tired. Just,
of course, yeah, of course.
I had two big moments around this time. Big for me. Oh, we're back. This is the windiest bit of the marsh, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You come around twice.
Try and get some shelter.
Yeah, we'll get by these trees, otherwise you're not going to hear this key stuff. Hey, Pat, let's go through here. Into the woods. Two things. One, on my wife and my head's advice, I didn't have my 21-mile carb gel.
Right.
I thought, I feel all right.
You're going to be, yeah.
It's going to make me feel sick.
Might have been a bit much, yeah.
And then I thought, what if you crash? What if I feel terrible? It's like, you're going to feel terrible. You're doing the last 4 miles of a marathon.
Yeah.
Just don't have the carb gel. And I didn't, and I felt so not sick.
Yeah.
I think that's the end of it for carb gels for me. Next time I do a marathon, I'll find something Scott Jurek-y to take at the halfway point. Because generally, I run on empty anyway. My breakfast really works. The carb gel I had was quite good. I just need to replace it with something like a banana or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So that was a great decision. Really played out. Not partly because it was the right thing to do, but also because I had to know my courage to the sticking post. Let's say, no.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You're going to make it, you know. It was quite a conversation. I didn't have it out loud.
Yeah.
And then, at the same time, feeling pretty tired, between 21, 22 miles, I thought, God, I've got to do this. It's going to be tough. And I said to myself, you've quite literally already done it.
Yeah.
And it was simple times. I mean, I've done it before. But there's more to it than that. It's like, I know I can do it. What do I think? Was I feeling fine this time last time? No.
Yeah.
So I just knew.
You've been here before, yeah.
I've been there before.
There is a tipping point around 23, normally, when you start to glimpse the end, isn't there?
Yes.
There's a bit of a...
I think, and again, it used to feel like a really bad thing, but now you feel like, you remember, you're kind of chasing it down. It's like tidying something up. It's not the whole marathon.
Yeah.
You just chase it down to this point, and that's exactly it. I was seeing 21 and 23. Same as in London. And just thinking, this is tough now. And just using all my training and my experience to just get through that and realise, like you say, that's the window. Yeah. It doesn't get any easier from 23, but you do know you're near the end.
Yes,
just know
yeah, yeah, the psychological.
Psychologically, you're a park run out. You've got...
Yeah.
In Yorkshire, it's wonderful because you're coming gradually back into town. For me, there's a really key moment when you pass the main road.
Yeah.
You go over it on the way out and you go under it on the way back. It's like, I've passed the main road now. And I think, what, is the A19? And that, well, if I'm under the A19, I'm there.
Yeah. yeah.
Which is so unromantic, but just amazing. And then just chunking off the marks, you know. Each mile's long. Well, I said to myself, just do one mark, just get to the next mile marker.
Yeah. Nice.
Marker, you know. And knowing also that I'd slowed down, but not that much, because you're watching everyone else and it's all the same people. You know, some of them are kind of getting away from you.
Most people are slowing, aren't they? Yeah.
Some of them are having a bit of trouble, but
yeah.
There's not that much. There's not as much shakedown as one's paranoid head can imagine.
Yeah.
You know? And then, more Yorkshire music stories, but... As I said, the chapter about the one just after Dad died, I had a moment with George Michael around 10 miles. And that, in the woods with... Anyway,
that song came on at
25 miles.
Wow.
That specific song. I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's not just... It's like, oh, it's very romantic. It's the chapter from the book, you know. It's a joke about George Michael and... Various people not being very, not being perfect coaches,
right?
Because of their lifestyles. But much more prosaically, I planked that song a lot. In fact,
right,
I got
okay,
plank
yeah,
record.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, if you can plank for 6 minutes,
yeah,
you can run a mile.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And then
plank
I turn.
Plank management, isn't it?
That's yeah. right. And I turn into hill, and even the hill at the end was great because it's so ridiculous that you would be able to sprint up it. Just carrying on running up it was. It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
It's a nice finish, York.
It finishes just before, the hill finishes before the finish, so you do get to kind of come in. And then I met the, talked to the radio, got my Erdinger, had a lovely photo opportunity with someone called Emily, who was saying, oh, can I get a picture with you? But I dropped all my stuff and had to sit down. She was like, oh, you're so kind. I'm like, you totally sorted my life out for me. And then met loads of other people, lots of nice little chats. And, of course, you're meeting other people who've just finished and that. And then sat down, got my shoes off, and I, so much pain.
Right.
My toes. Oh, my goodness. I saw Tom from Parkrun.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, marathon runners limp as I headed over to the buffet for some lunch. And I was like, yeah, but it was a little small blister under my left heel. And that was when I realized it just... I know it sounds twisted, but pain in your feet is great, isn't it? It's so far away.
Yeah. You're in so much other pain in your body that it doesn't kind of break through to the brain.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, compared to that thing of feeling like I'm just kind of non-specifically going to die,
yeah.
My hands all kind of tingling, or you know, to having painful feet, and it was, I was making quite a fuss, you know, but, and they're like, oh, you're okay? I'm like, yeah, actually, I'm fine. Yeah. Like Pierce Brosnan at the end, Goldeneye. So, and then, and that was the weird thing, and I really think, I'm trying to, rationalise it and work out what it means. But, as I say, the fundamental thing is that I came away from it feeling so fine.
Yeah.
I mean, short term, it just made me think, don't wait 4 months to run another one.
Yeah.
Because the two together, not too close together, just gave me a strength I've never known before.
Yeah. You're obviously super, super strong. And you, what was it? It was 3:37.
3:37. Yeah. And I'm so, I mean, obviously, because we announce our aims, hopes and dreams, you know, I would love to have gone sub 3:30 again in York. And maybe I will next year or whatever. But I wasn't going all out for it at all because of the London factor.
Yeah.
And so on the day, I just went out there,
really
held a good pace, and just did it all on feel.
Yeah,
and
really
I think my goal to bronze, gold was sub 3:30. Silver was significantly faster than London. And bronze was something like the same as London.
So
it was silver rather than gold. But
you've
I have
got a solid
no
silver and a really solid run. And you're obviously really, really strong, you know.
Yeah, and I felt great. And I feel great. You know, how far have we just run just then? About
four,
3.5 miles?
About 3.5, I think, yeah.
But, I mean, it was still 2.5, hang on.
Right.
And...
But you've got to chill this week, though. Give yourself a rest.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
And And everyone was so lovely. I mean, I've also fixed my phone, and that was great because it got music all the way around. Yeah. And then I could sit on the train, which, by the way, wasn't delayed.
Yeah, yeah.
And just watch it all happening, you know, really so many stories. You
yeah,
know?
No, it's great.
And then coming
great,
into your weekend runs, you realise, of course, that it's not just the Yorkshire Marathon.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
that
yeah.
season. You know?
It is. People it really are... is. It really is. No, it's great. It's great. It's... It's just really great to watch it unfold, you know, albeit on the Twitter timeline and all the people in the community running all over and, yeah.
Absolutely great. In fact, you know what I've got for the first time in as long as I can remember?
Oh, yeah.
Got some PBs.
Okay, cool. Let's do them.
Should we do some PBs?
Yeah, let's do them. Let's
Steve,
do the PBs.
Cue the music. I got a message from Joanne. Is that the music? Is the music on? Joanne Sharder ran Manchester Marathon, got a 9-minute PB. 3:38 and 27 seconds. She's 53 years old.
Well
Give
done.
Her a ruga, go Joanne in Manchester. And her husband, Aaron.
Aaron, her husband, did 3:33:27 at the same event for a 30-minute PB.
Chris Gardner, who I know, friend of mine from the Yorkshire Marathon, he was doing the Great South Run, which is a 10-mile. It was a first ever, but it's still a PB, Chris. Still a PB.
67 minutes and 11 seconds. Well done. Jeff Thorne's grandson.
Oh, no noise. We didn't do a noise.
Jeff Thorne's grandson, Charlie McMillan, 19 years, Oxford half marathon, second half marathon ever. He was in eighth place in 74 minutes and 23 seconds.
That's
very fast running.
Incredibly fast, Charlie. Kevin Hutchins did the Yorkshire Coast 10K in Nippy.
50 minutes and 43 seconds. Adam Duggan, PB in the York Marathon of 37 seconds.
And this is interesting because you've got tight, a 37 PB. You're shaving off because it's incredibly fast. What was that time, Paul?
The time was 2 hours, 53 and 46 seconds.
Huge! But
well
also,
done.
Just in the event, that is a Yorkshire Marathon improvement of an hour and 17 minutes.
Yes, yeah, that's crazy.
That's intense.
Crazy, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well done, Adam.
Crazy. Although I read that as 1 hour and 17 minutes slower last time. Oh, wow. Incredible.
The York Marathon last
Incredible.
Time.
Well done. Fantastic. From 4 hours to 2:53.
JK Madness. From the Ealing Eagles was first female, got a PB in the Cabbage Patch 10, 1:10:55, but he is not female.
But he's male. So well said. It's a very 21st century PB there.
Yeah. And it's so 21st century. I hope I understood that message. Apologies. Also, I met someone from the Ealing Eagles twice out on the Yorkshire Marathon. I think it was Sophie. Apologies, Sophie, if I got your name wrong. It was great to see you out there. Congratulations.
Well done. We've got John Rogers at the Cabbage Patch 10. She's a great 10-mile runner. Classic race, been going for years. He did it in 1 hour, 30 minutes and 6 seconds. Well done, John.
And our CB is Matt, who did the Chelmsford Marathon, his first ever marathon. He said he was inspired to do a marathon by us.
Nice, we'll take that.
He did it in 2:59 and 12 seconds. And then posted a fantastic picture of him in absolutely intense pain. Of course he was in pain. And here's to everyone. Obviously, we talked about Martin. Also, Dave. Dave and Martin both came in 4 hours and 1 second.
Hilarious.
How did that happen? That's
Hilarious.
Crazy talk.
Run a bit faster, fellas.
Donato was my pizza friend who said he sort of went off fast and he came in, you know, had a terrible second half, but still came in a long way sub four. So, you know, as I say, going off too fast and then crashing and burning can still work out for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that's right.
Amanda was out there. I met her afterwards. She had a fantastic run and was just saying about coming back from injury, coming back after lockdown. Kate Hebden it's just been everyone in Yorkshire and beyond. It's been an incredible weekend of running. So, well done. Congratulations. We love you all.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.